Welcome to The Word This Week, where we believe that the Bible is more than just words on a page. They are the words we live by, and it's pretty cool too. We invite you to join us as we read through the Bible together this year.
Welcome back to The Word This Week. We're your hosts, Ethan Bohannon, Jimmy Thorpe, Brian Vaughn, and this is episode 53.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah.
And there was much rejoicing.
Oh, man.
We have done this thing for a year.
And a week.
Yeah, and a week.
Don't let those days slip you by.
Oh, man. You guys have been amazing through this.
Yeah.
And it's been a really, really great ride. And to all of you who have been listening and tracking with us, thank you so much. Many of you have reached out and just told us how much you've enjoyed this, how much the podcast has meant to you. And we just want to thank you mm-hmm. for that encouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are the reason that we did this.
Yeah.
You know, our hope from the beginning that as we set out as a church body to mm-hmm. read through the Bible in a year, we had hoped that this podcast would be the way that would help people stay engaged,
right.
Would help people feel empowered to jump in wherever they were at, if they got behind or whatever. And I think we've done that.
Yeah.
I think we've done that. So thank you.
Yeah. I think it's been really cool to, as we've gone through our staff, letting the people listening meet our staff and us as friends on staff have gotten to do this together, but we've had friends and family members, mm-hmm. spouses.
Yeah.
We've had lots of folks guests on the podcast. And if you've done so this year, I just want to say thank you
for
absolutely. Taking your time.
Yep.
It's invaluable and I've been blessed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've just loved reading the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a lot of fun. As we were talking about kind of this last episode,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we started thinking about and started reminiscing is just some of our favorite moments over the year as it pertained to the podcast. So I was wondering if there's anything that was sticking out to you guys.
I think as we have had friends on and different staff members and all these people I mentioned, hearing their unique perspective has been really good. Hearing from Becky Davidson, who's the leader of a nonprofit that ministers to families with children with special needs.
Yep.
And hearing how does this woman read the Bible and how does it strike her heart or hearing from Aaron Connor or Mr. Linwood or whomever, just hearing their unique vantage point reminds me that the Word of God is living and breathing and active that the Holy Spirit is so good at his job. He's not only connecting me to the Word in a very special and unique way, but he's also connecting Ethan and you too, Brian. It's neat that the Lord is speaking so much to so many and so specifically.
Yeah, and just how even the different guests we've had and their life experiences, and I know that's kind of what you're hitting on, just the perspective of where they're at in life now, but even, you know, what they've come through,
right?
Where they've been and how that impacted their perspective.
Totally.
That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would agree. Sure. And I think honestly, that was probably my favorite thing too. I mean, I'm bad to get in my own bubble, you know, as I'm reading through this and how God's speaking to me. And I know God speaks to everybody differently, but I can get in that bubble of okay, so this is what God means by this.
Yeah.
And then we listen to the podcast. I'm like, I never would have thought about thinking or seeing it this way.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just been, it's just been really cool.
Right.
And I feel like it helps me to get to know those people better.
Right.
You know, as I'm listening to those, because these are people that maybe I don't know that well or I've worked with for a while, but, you know, with it also being a job, maybe I don't get to sit down and talk scripture with them.
Oh,
and being able to hear, like you were saying, Becky or Linwood or some of these people that's been guests on here, that's how they view this. That's so unique.
I would have never thought of it that way.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think your point is really, really well said, Ethan, and I think it's really cool as we hear from all of our friends that come from different backgrounds and they have this different life experience. It's easy to fall into a spiritual echo chamber,
mm-hmm.
where like kind of what you're alluding to, where I've read this scripture who knows how many times, and it's banging around in my head in the same way that my mind thinks it. And you just kind of root, it's like, yeah, this is an echo chamber, and every time I read this verse, it means this to me. Mm-hmm. But just inviting people in, I think, really broadens our perspectives and keeps us from getting in a funk with the way that we interpret the Bible. Because I will say the way that I read it now as a man in my 40s, it was much different than I read it in my 20s, and much different when I read it when I was 8.
Yep.
You know, and then now superimpose that upon all these people with their life stories and their journeys. It's really cool to see everyone's perspectives and help broaden mine on the way that I interpret the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
And I think, too, it's given me an even greater sense of how important it is to read scripture, talk about scripture in the context of community.
Yeah.
You know, and not to be a commercial for small groups or life groups or whatever, but even just among friends or among the table, you know, around the table at night with your family, of talking about the things that you've read and picking up on the those different perspectives, you know, is so, so valuable.
Yeah.
One of the comments we'll get is like, when people listen to this podcast, and I think it's high praise, they're like, it feels like I'm in the room with you. And that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
But what if you were really in the room with other people?
Yep.
I think that's to your point, Brian. I think if you're listening, like maybe that's a fun little challenge to give yourself, is like, is there anybody in your life you can talk about the Bible with? Because it's so much even more satisfying to be part of the conversation than just listening.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Brian, what were some moments that you remember that you loved this year?
I think some of the ones that have stuck out to me was when we had like a husband and wife team as a guest or father and son, like Josiah and Jim that joined us a couple times, and just seeing how in relation, I mean, like real close relationship, how some of those things, the filter that some of their perspectives were coming through like that. That was fun. I've enjoyed a lot too. You know, we'd have different guests, and every once in a while we'd come back to the three of us and that was fun. Sometimes it just feels a little easier, as we have jumped in, occasionally. So those are some moments that, that have been fun for me. Mm. We're coming to the end of this plan as a church body, as we've read through the scripture together. But that doesn't mean that has to stop.
Yeah, totally. Right,
for folks. So I was wondering if you guys had just any tips for people, like, where do you go from here? Maybe this is the first time you've read all the way through scripture. So what advice might you give somebody of what's next?
You know, I think the first thing that comes to my head is to, by this point, you know, and we've talked about it in one of the previous podcasts, like, if I don't do it, I feel like something's missing now. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. Like, when you do something for a year, you start to make a habit out of it. And my suggestion and advice would be to don't stop.
Like,
keep going. You know, what does that look like for you? Maybe that's starting over. God always is moving and teaching. I mean, even I've read the Bible before, but this time around, I've picked up on new things. And so it's like, it almost excites me, because then I'm like, okay, so if I start back in Genesis again, what's God going to show me this next time? And maybe it's not starting at the beginning. Maybe you're like, hey, I'd like to go back to those minor prophets again, because I'd never really read those and God really spoke to me when I was or maybe, you know, I don't know what that is for you. But I think coming at it with the lens of, hey, God spoke to me this time, and knowing that God can show you something completely different is encouraging.
I have a couple thoughts. One would be to pick an epistle, a letter, a book that can be read in a sitting and read it in a sitting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we end up, you know, verse here, verse there, chapter here, chapter there, but there's a greater context that we often miss. So maybe taking my favorite James and sitting down on your lunch break and reading it every day for a week, you know, an idea. And then also, I'm not much of a note taker, but like as we've prepared for this podcast, and especially in the early days of it, as we're in the Pentateuch and the first five books of Moses, there is so much going on, and it's so much story, but also so much history, and also so much social studies. It's just a lot happening. These specific people did these specific things in this specific place. That's important because it's and just writing that out as you're reading it. You read a couple verses, you read a chapter. Like, what are some of my takeaways?
Yeah.
And then reading back through your notes and like, maybe I should study on that more. Or maybe that's something that I need to look at, or, you know, it's really profitable. It's something I'm now in the practice of that I didn't used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more, not that you're going to publish it or show anyone, but, just journaling through some of the standout thoughts that you have and bringing some of that before the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes I'll write a question, you know, we were doing a podcast and it was one I did by myself, and I was like so, so convicted. It was the passages from Acts 15. It was that section, and it was talking about, let's not make it hard for people to come to Jesus. And then Paul, in one of his letters, is kind of expounding on that. And he's saying, where people are trying to get them to follow their rules and their prescriptions so that they can be their disciples, not Jesus' disciples.
Yeah.
And it really wrecked me. And one of my questions was like, am I making disciples for myself or for Jesus?
Yeah.
And I believe the answer is that I'm making them for Jesus, but it was something that I really needed to, I'm glad I wrote that down and I'm glad I used it to pray through. I even wrote myself like five or seven questions through those passages that I really wanted to pray through. So I'm going on and on, but I think a bit of journaling, a bit of writing the high points, and then seeking God in prayer on some of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a question is drawn to your mind or a challenge.
And I know I'm the kind of person, and I know I'm not the only one, but if I did good this year because we had a plan and it was like, okay, this day is this, you know, and so on and so forth. But when I just have the freedom to, hey, I can read anything in the Bible, to me, it's almost overwhelming. And I'm bad sometimes to just be like, oh, okay, so I don't know what to do. And then I like spiral out of control.
Yeah.
And so I'm more of a plan, like devotion person. I wanted to encourage people too, that like, you don't just have to say, okay, I got to pick a book of the Bible and just read it. Like there are resources and plans.
Yes.
And, it's just all knowing what works for you. And so for me, like I really love the YouVersion app and there's all kinds of plans on there. And so it's like 5-day plans. 7-day plans. And so it like keeps me like, okay, it's changing pretty regularly, but I'm still constantly in the Word and I'm seeing those devotions. And so I think just being able to find, all comes back to finding that time to be with God.
Yeah.
Whether that's just straight reading the Bible, whether that's note taking, whether that's using, like doing what works for you. And then just going all in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Couple things I would say. One, you could turn right back around and start January 1st with this reading through, or
you could listen to the podcast again.
Could listen. Hey, that's a great point. How about that?
Smash that like button.
Because
is that a thing?
I don't know.
Make sure to subscribe. I don't know.
Yeah, follow the podcast.
Because it'll still be out there.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and there's another kind of podcast app that I know my wife has used. Jimmy, I think Kim used it as well. Called the Bible Recap.
Yeah.
And that has a plan of reading through the Bible. You know, a couple years ago, as a church, we read through the New Testament in a year. And you know, there are plans out there. I mean, the internet has. I've even found sites where you can generate your own Bible reading plan. Say, I want to read through the New Testament in a year or in 3 months, and it'll give you a plan of how to do that. So there's some stuff like that. There's devotionals out there that take you through scripture. There's a writer that I have come to really love, his devotionals, a guy named Jim Branch, and you can look for those on Amazon. One that I've gone through is Pray Like Jesus. That's kind of an entry level. It's like a 40-day. Each day it has some scripture to read, has some devotional thoughts, and then questions to write down.
Right.
So kind of like what you were saying, Jimmy, it just kind of helps you make space for of spending time with the Lord. And then he has a bigger work called The Blue Book. And there are several of us that have gone through some of that, which again, it's set up so that it's set up by weeks. Okay. And during that week, you have one psalm that you read every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then for that particular day, like day one, you have another passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. And then there's some readings that go along with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great resource.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of a million.
Oh, jillions. Yeah.
Tons.
I think the point is just do something.
Do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I like Spurgeon, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
He's long gone, but he was a prolific preacher, teacher, evangelist, and was known for these really amazingly eloquent sermons and stuff. Yeah. And I like to Google, like, Spurgeon commentary, Matthew 5,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it'll be there. Like, it's just that the internet, with all of its hang-ups, boy, it's so cool to be, you know.
Yeah.
And so finding, like, sometimes I'm like, well, what does Piper say about Matthew 5? Or what is, you know, and I'll go through. And again, it's just, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
You could just stumble into it. You could just do something. But I think even finding teachers and leaders, many of them do have commentaries or thoughts mm-hmm. or sermons that they've preached from these passages. That's a deeper dive. We talked about the Bible Project.
Yep.
If you go to YouTube and type in Bible Project and then any book of the Bible, they're going to have a video that's, I feel, entertaining almost.
Yeah, it is.
That well executes what Scripture is saying in a pretty unbiased way. I've found it to be dead on, but that's just the Jimmy endorsement.
Right.
You're going to have to test the spirits and do your own thing. But anyway, that's one of a million resources. The Blue Letter Bible is a study Bible that's got an online version that you can compare and contrast different translations.
Mm-hmm.
It has commentaries built in. You can do word studies, like where, okay, what does the word sing mean in this passage? Well, it means solos, which means to pluck or to play, or to mean, you know, and you can go through and like go to the Hebrew on stuff and pretend like you're really, you can like twirl your mustache and smoke a pipe
exactly.
and pretend like you're really educated.
You're channeling your inner Spurgeon.
I kind of look like.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know if you knew this, Ethan, but I was really into Spurgeon and I found this picture of him. I'm like, well, dog bite, if I don't look a lot like him and I put my glasses on Spurgeon and put I like printed my face in Spurgeon and I just put it on Brian's desk with no explanation. He was like, yeah,
I love
that's
it.
That tracks.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the end.
Yeah.
We read Revelation this week in addition to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
Yeah.
More light reading.
Just took a little trip.
Yeah. Anything from this week that jumped out to you guys?
I think it's 1 John 4, where it says, you know, love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows mm-hmm. God, but he who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's a good reminder. And thinking about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, it's like, if I speak of tongues of men and of angels and have not love, then my words are a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. Like,
yeah.
It's so important to be about love. And in a lot of 1 John, it's talking about you can't hate your brother and love God.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right.
And I'm sure he was addressing some very then specific issues.
Sure.
But it's just a good reminder to me. It's like if I detect that I don't have that love in my heart, that I'm not coming from a posture of love. It's just there's so much, so ready made life application thoughts that I can make of that verse and of that content and that idea of like, if God is love, then I want to be about loving people.
Yeah.
If I don't have that in my heart, and one of my rule checks is like, love is patient, it's kind, it's gentle, it's not proud, it doesn't boast, it isn't rude, it seeks not itself, it rejoices in truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and it never fails. So like, in this situation, am I mm-hmm. trusting and loving and persevering? And it's not that black and white, but I want to test my the way that I interact with people, the way that I think about people, the way that I try to make decisions based on, am I a reflection of God's love in my thoughts and actions and my decision making?
Yeah.
And you can look at the fruit of that love and like, yeah, I'm being kind of proud. And yeah, I'm coming from a place that's self-serving, you know? Yeah. And when I read that passage from 1 John, it just helps me triple down on that. It's like, if God is love, then I want to be walking in that love and sharing that love with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he trickles down to, and perfect love
casts out all fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would echo that. That's like what stood out to me this week with that reading was in 1 John chapter 3. And it was, I've got it right here, verse 7. It says, "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous." Mm-hmm. Which makes me think back to our previous podcast where we were talking about James.
Yeah.
And how, you know, our actions and what we do shows that Christ is in us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those passages where you can't read that enough, right?
No.
You
can, right. That's
you
that's
always
what I
need that
said,
reminder
yeah.
that God's love in me is going to flow through my actions. People's going to see that because of what I'm doing. And yeah, you just can't be reminded of that enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. In reading, there's so much from Revelation that sticks out. And, you mentioned Bible Project. Before I started reading Revelation, I went back to their intro video for Revelation and just gave me an interesting perspective from which to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really see that it was meant for a couple things. One, just encouragement to the believers that were going through.
Yeah.
They had come through one emperor that persecuted, walking into another one that just wreaked a lot of havoc for those early Christians. And it's a book of hope or a writing of hope, you know. And there's one thing at the beginning of it, talking about perfect love casts out fear. As John is getting this vision of the resurrected Christ, and he falls on his face, and then it says that that Jesus touched him, and he said, "Don't be afraid."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I am who I am.
Yeah,
but I'm here with you. You know, and I love that, and there's just so much. I see hope. And and almost a retelling of the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think is pretty cool.
In a whole other language. And
right.
Yeah.
And using such amazing imagery and symbolism to show that, look, Christ is victorious.
Yeah.
And that's the hope that we hold on to. And I thought it'd be kind of fun just to kind of end this with a bit from the end of the chapter or the end of Revelation. And two, keeping thought of the beginning and what God created and the garden, where he placed us, you know, and his intention for us. And then this is what we have to look forward to. Go and read the whole thing, but this is in chapter 21. He said, and this is talking about the new city of Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth.
Yeah.
He said, "I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter into the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there's no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." It's just, I could have chosen anything from that to read, but I just love that picture of, you know, the Lord Almighty and the risen Lamb, that they're our light.
Right.
And our hope. And then you get into, I'll keep going there. "Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street, and on each side of the river grew a tree of life. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month, and the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Mm. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. At the very end of chapter 22, it says, he who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And then the declaration as John writes this down, amen, come Lord Jesus.
Come Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And then it ends with this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. And I think that's our prayer for us, for you who are listening.
Yeah.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, we want to thank the River Community Church for sponsoring this podcast. And if you're in Cookeville and looking for a church home, we'd love to invite you to come out, and you can check out more about us at therivercc.com. Thanks, and join us next time on The Word This Week.